Okay, translation. The king said, O Brahmana, O powerful one, formerly Lord Vishnu showered me with his causeless mercy, indicating that you would come to my house and to confirm that blessings you have all come. Purport. When Lord Vishnu appeared on the great arena of sacrifice at the time when King Prithu was performing a great sacrifice, he predicted that the Kumaras would very soon come and advise the king. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj remembered the causeless mercy of the Lord, and this welcomed the arrival of the Kumaras, who were fulfilling the Lord's prediction. In other words, when the Lord makes a prediction, he fulfills that prediction through some of his devotees. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that both his glorious names and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra would be broadcast in all the towns and villages of the world. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada desired to fulfill this great prediction, and we are following in their footsteps. We obviously mean Srila Prabhupada. Regarding his devotees, Lord Krishna told Arjuna, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotees will never perish. Bhagavad Gita 9:31. The point is that the Lord himself could declare such things, but it was his desire to make the declaration through Arjuna and thus doubly assure that his promise would never be broken. The Lord himself promises, and his confidential devotees execute the promise. The Lord makes so many promises for the benefit of suffering humanity. Although the Lord is very compassionate upon suffering humanity, human beings are generally not very anxious to serve him. The relationship is something like that between the father and the son. The father is always anxious for the welfare of the son, even though the son forgets or neglects the father. The word anukampina is significant. The Lord is so compassionate upon the living entities that he comes himself into the world in order to benefit the fallen souls. Bhagavad Gita 4:7, whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise in irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Thus, it is out of compassion that the Lord appears in his different forms. Lord Sri Krishna appeared on this planet out of compassion for fallen souls. Lord Buddha appeared out of compassion for the poor animals who were being killed by the demons. Lord Nisringadeva appeared out of the compassion for Prahlad Maharaj. The conclusion is that the Lord is so compassionate on the fallen souls within this material world that he comes himself, and this is the bit I like, or sends his devotees and his servants to fulfill his desire to have all the fallen souls come back home, back to Godhead. Thus, Lord Sri Krishna instructed Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna for the benefit of the entire human society. Intelligent men should therefore seriously consider this Krishna consciousness movement and fully utilize the instructions of Bhagavad Gita as preached without adulteration by his pure devotees. So guess who I'm thinking when it says here that Krishna sends his devotees and his servants. Who do you think he sent? Well done, girls. Right there in the Bhagavatam. Also, I found some more. You know, I'm a teacher, so I come with a learning plan, you know, with outcomes, Mother Guna, Mother Guru, no. Look, today the outcomes are to have a better understanding who Prabhupada is. So at the end of the class, I hope you go out thinking more about who this wonderful personality is. And also I'd like to have a quick look at the qualities of Srila Prabhupada, because where would any of us be? None of us would be sitting here today without Prabhupada and his mercy and his austerities. So I think it's important to be really grateful for what Srila Prabhupada did to all of us, for all of us. It's mentioned here how Lord Chaitanya predicted that in every town and village of the world, the chanting of my name will be heard. So that's in, if anyone wants to read, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anchalila, chapter 4, verse 126. Also, in Chaitanya Mangala, Sutra Kanda, song 12, text 564 to 565, Lord Chaitanya clearly states that he will send his leading preachers. So, Srila Prabhupada must be one of Lord Chaitanya's leading preachers, because he's the one that got sent here, isn't it? How can we understand this personality of Prabhupada? And there's one really, really nice, this is a translation of that actually, it says, taking the sharp word of the congregational chanting of the holy name, I will root out and destroy the demoniac mentality in the hearts of the conditioned souls. If some people escape and giving up religious principles go to far off countries, then my commander-in-chief will appear to chase them and distribute Krishna consciousness. So we're the ones in the far out. What did he say? In the far, too far off countries. Because Lord Chaitanya, obviously he appeared in India, spread the word in India, but apparently some people escaped. So Lord Srila Prabhupada, he came to the Western countries to chase us and help us understand our true position. And he's called the commander-in-chief. And this, in Sanskrit, is the Senapati Bhakta. So Srila Prabhupada, our commander-in-chief, our Senapati Bhakta. Of course, Sena means army. And as we all know, we are on a battlefield. Srila Prabhupada said this. I remember Prabhupada here at the manor. He always used to say this in his classes. He'd say, we're on the battlefield. And obviously, the opposite side is Maya. So remember that. Soldiers in an army. And I once heard a class, actually, where Prabhupada said, as you advance in Krishna consciousness, the tests become more difficult. So don't expect an easy ride. There will be obstacles on that path of devotion, but don't lose the goal. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Now we all know about Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his predictions. Well, I hope we do. I've got pages of them here. Let's have a quick look. Oh, I missed one thing. You know what? Look at me. Lesson plan. Lord Nityananda, let's not forget him. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila 782, Nityananda said, upon seeing the chanting and dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda predicted that later there would be such chanting and dancing in every village. Now, I'm sure many of you have actually gone to villages where maybe the Hare Krishna mantra wasn't heard before. Govinda, you're with Ananta, you're doing that village thing, aren't you, all around the manor? Wonderful. Some of those villages probably haven't had Hare now. I did a lot of padyatra in the 1990s with my husband. And we'd go, particularly in Ireland, I just met an Irish devotee over there, and you go to these little villages in Ireland, because my husband's Irish, and it was like they couldn't believe what they were seeing, that these orange clad, white clad, strange bedsheet type things. And they'd usually be in the pub, to be honest. And they'd be looking around the door and through the window at this Harinam, and we'd just sit there in their village and chant. It was really wonderful to go there. So don't give up on the Harinam, very important. Actually, I'll tell you a story about Jananandan that I remembered. Now, Jananandan Maharaj, of course, is from the Kshatra. And back in the 70s, I lived in the centre of England, Wolverhampton, not far from Birmingham. And it's very central, you know, you can get to anywhere. And in those days, we had the famous saffron transit vans. Creeper Moyer said they were yellow, but in the song they're saffron. You know that song, "We All Live in a Saffron Transit Van"? No, it's sung to the Beatles song, you know, "We all live in a saffron transit van." And they go all over England doing book distribution. The numbers were given out yesterday. And Sava, she was in the saffron transit van, weren't you, love? And so because I lived in such a central place, the devotees would stay with me. And I was still working at that point. And I was a career girl, I admit it. And one day I was in town with my mother, actually. And Jananandan, who was staying at my house, happened to be him. And, of course, he's wearing the saffron. And I just was about 10, 20 metres away with my mother. And he went up to this lady, and she actually recoiled. Have you ever seen anyone recoil in shock? Like, you know, walking across a field and you see a cobra going like that. That kind of recoil in shock. Because it was such an unusual thing in those days to see someone dressed in saffron and books in hand and approaching you. And that's what it was like for those wonderful devotees that went out distributing books. It was like so unusual. I mean, now we're really spoilt in London. When you go out in London, everyone's Harry, you know, everyone joins in such a night, Harry now. But in those days, it was such an unusual thing. Really unusual. Even now you go up north. A few years ago, we went up north to do some program. And the people, it was like back in the 70s almost, you know, it's like, oh, who are these? So we still have a lot more preaching to do. We're good in London. We've got to think about the rest of the country as well. Isn't it? Okay, I've lost where I am. Back to Vinod. I found a few interesting things. Oh, God. They're going to end up on the floor. I'm just going to go to the main bit because I'm very aware of time. I'll find that bit later because it's too long to read now. I know there's another bit somewhere. Oh, here we go. This is a summary. Actually, there's another one. Sorry. I really want this one quote, which, of course, I got too many papers, so I can't find. Anyway, where is it? Oh, I've lost it. And it's an important piece. How strange. It's always when you overly organize that you can't find anything, isn't it? Must be on this piece. Oh, here we are. This is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's Sajjanatoshini, I think it was a magazine, and he said, "When will that day come when people in England, France, Russia, Prussia, and America will take up the madangas and kartals and raise the waves of Sankirtan, acknowledging Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? When will that day come when fair-skinned foreigners travel to Sri Mayapur Dham and join with the Bengali Vaishnavas to chant Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana? When will that day be? Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada made that day happen. In 1974, the first Mayapur festival, there's wonderful pictures in old BTGs, and they came up on the internet. And you see Achyutananda and Dinanath at the front. And, of course, there's Bengalis there, and you're a Bengali, aren't you? You know, the Bengalis are there, and the... And they're chanting down Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's road. And in 1975, I got to take part in that as well. And it's just like, it's like a fulfillment of history. And Prabhupada made that happen, the predictions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So how wonderful is that? Just, Prabhupada like blows my mind. He's such a wonderful person. So, 101 years ago, in the year 1822, Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta and at that first meeting asked him to preach in English. And also, apparently, in 1935, Bhaktisiddhanta told Sridhar Maharaj, who's one of Prabhupada's leading godbrothers, he'll do the needful when the time comes. Nobody required to help him. And there's a nice story here that I also... This is from one of Prabhupada's other godbrothers, Nayananda Das Babaji. And he... This was... I'll read the whole thing. Bhaktisiddhanta lectured to a crowd that had assembled for a parikram, a walking tour of Mayapur, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Guru Maharaj was looking out at the large crowd of devotees. Then he turned his head towards the left side where I was standing. This is this Nayanan Das Babaji. He was looking intently at someone behind me and became silent for a long time. I turned and saw that the person with whom he was making eye contact was Abhai Charanaravinda Prabhu. That's Prabhupada, for those of you who don't know. I have a prediction, Bhaktisiddhanta announced. However long in the future it may be, one of my disciples will cross the ocean. That devotee will bring back the whole world. Far out, isn't it? Everyone's telling us what Prabhupada's going to do. I've lost my page. Okay. Whew. Of course, other devotees, Prabhupada's godbrothers, did go to the West. Von Maharaj came. They were in Eastbourne, of all places. They met some ladies in Eastbourne. And Bhaktisiddhanta made this prediction. And it was that if we did Rath Yatra in Eastbourne, Alanath, Gaudianath, and Gopinath would manifest. So one year we did Rath Yatra in Eastbourne, and I'm actually looking for them. I'm expecting. Now they were there, but unfortunately I didn't have the eyes to see them. But it was quite amazing that all these things, because of Srila Prabhupada, have come true. It's just like mind blown, really. Okay. Now, Prabhupada did mention his horoscope, and he said, after 70th year, oh, this is the astrologer talking. After the 70th year, this man will go outside India and establish so many temples. And Prabhupada, he said he couldn't understand it. What is this that I have to go outside India? And so Prabhupada, as a young man growing up with his horoscope, he was quite surprised that he was going to go outside of India and do this. But he did it. On the order of his Guru Maharaj, he did it. So those are the predictions. So is everyone convinced that Prabhupada's predicted, going to come, save us all? Anyone not convinced? Good. I'm glad you're all convinced, because I am. I was thinking about Prabhupada, because when Prabhupada entered the Jaladutta, he was 69 and he had his birthday, his 70th birthday. Now, when you're young and you hear about old age, you've absolutely no idea where it actually is. You know, I was in this great illusion of old age, no one happened to me. I'll still be strong. So when I hit 70, it was a real shock because my body started to play up like anything. And so I thought, my goodness, how did Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 69, 70, how was he able to travel around the world and do all these things? It's actually a miracle in itself. It really is. Trust me. I mean, you guys, most of you are young. You're in for a shock when you hit 70, I tell you now. A real shock. Well, I was. Maybe you're cleverer than me and understand. So it was a great austerity what Srila Prabhupada did. It was an incredible austerity, actually. First of all, leaving Vrindavan. Now, I lived in Vrindavan for like 8 years during the mid-70s, early 80s. Who's been to Vrindavan? Most of you been? Recently, now there's a lot of cars. In those days, if you saw a car pass by, it was a talking point. You'd be saying, my God, you wouldn't believe it. A car came to Vrindavan today. I saw it. I mean, these days, you know, you risk your life to cross the road. So Prabhupada lived in Vrindavan. It was like a heavenly planet. You know, there's that soft sand beneath your feet. You know, it's like walking, you know, it's so soft to walk. And 5,000 temples. There's the bells always. And in those days, your temple would have the microphone, whatever you call them, sound system on, and you'd hear chanting and peacocks cooing, that noise they make. They'd be everywhere, the peacocks, cows wandering round. It was just so magical, Vrindavan. I mean, I'm lucky I saw it like that way because I still see it like that. I mean, it's just the most wonderful place on the planet for me. And Prabhupada left that and went on a steamship. And he had to kind of fight to get that ticket on the steamship, you know, with Mr. Choksi and Mrs. Sumati Maharaji. And I just thought I'd read a few things from this just to try to help us understand just the austerity Srila Prabhupada went through. So where are we? I numbered it so I couldn't go wrong. Today is the 32nd day of our journey from Calcutta. After midnight yesterday, the lurching decreased and I felt relief. So if you're feeling relief, you're really suffering from the lurching. Who suffers from seasickness? I do, so I know what it's like. It's a terrible thing. There's no relief from it. You're just stuck on it. In the morning also, I could not take my breakfast properly. Then I cooked bati chachari. I don't know what that is. It appeared to be delicious, and I was able to take some food. Today I have disclosed my mind to my companion. Guess who Krishna's companion? I gave it away. Prabhupada's companion, Krishna. There is a Bengali poem made by me today in this connection. At about 11, there is a little lurching. The captain tells me that they had never such calmness of the Atlantic. I said, it is Lord Krishna's mercy. His wife asked me to come back again with them so that they may have again a calm Atlantic Ocean. If Atlantic would have shown its usual face, perhaps I would have died. But Lord Krishna has taken charge of the ship. Now, anyone know how long that journey is? I actually checked. I was thinking in miles. But anyway, it was probably around six, I'm not sure. 12,000 miles of lurching. Can you believe that? I mean, you know, we go to Birmingham, what's that, 100 miles, and you know, there's car sickness is unbearable. This is 12,000 miles of lurching, as Prabhupada describes it. And I looked at when Prabhupada had the heart attack, and all Prabhupada says, you can see in the book, he's just written lines through it, and it's Tuesday, the 31st of August. Passed over a great crisis on the struggle for life and death. That's how Prabhupada describes it. A separate statement has to be written on this crisis area. So a great crisis on the struggle for life and death. And this is a beautiful picture. I thought I'd show you. You know, Prabhupada says Krishna has taken over the ship. It's a lovely book, this, if you ever see it. It says, on the night of his heart attack, Srila Prabhupada had a dream. Lord Krishna, along with his incarnations, was rowing a boat, and the boat was pulling Srila Prabhupada's ship all the way to America. So we can see how, no, Krishna's not, Prabhupada's not ordinary, is he? He's got Krishna helping him every step, every 12,000 mile step of the way. And when Prabhupada arrived in America, it says, the immigration officer came in Boston in my boat. He inquired about this. So he asked me, Sir, Swamiji, how long you want to stay? So I thought that I have no shelter, I have no money, but I have got the return ticket. So I did not know how long. Prabhupada laughs. He asked me, how long you want to stay? So I thought, in these circumstances, I can stay at most 2 months, because I have no means where to stay, how to eat, and where shall I go? So I may struggle for 2 months. And a struggle it was. I mean, now we see people coming from India, and Prabhupada's done all the work. You know, you come, there's a car picks you up at the airport, you come to the temple, you've got a room, the prasadam's laid out. Prabhupada provided all that for us. It didn't happen by chance. Srila Prabhupada did that struggle, as he calls it, so that we could have these facilities. Anyway, look at that. I have no shelter. Anyone ever been homeless? Anyone ever been homeless? Yeah, me too. Horrible, isn't it? You know? I was homeless with a one-year-old and pregnant. It was a complete and utter nightmare. But luckily, the temple here gave me shelter. Yeah, well, kind of, not totally. There was a lot of struggle. I understand the struggle. But imagine, you know, and Prabhupada wasn't even sure that they would be able to understand his English. I mean, some people don't listen to Prabhupada tapes because the accent is too thick. So imagine, you know, no, and 200 rupees, but there's something about those 200 rupees Prabhupada came with. Anyone know? 200 rupees. You go and try and change rupees into any currency. Can't be done. Rupees are only currency in India. Bring 1 lakh rupees. You're not going to get anything for them. It's just one of those currencies that are only accepted in India, in their own country. So really, Prabhupada had nothing. But look how we've benefited from Prabhupada's nothing, you know. Because he had the books. But I just want you to think about that struggling of Srila Prabhupada so we can start to really appreciate. I'm not saying you don't misunderstand me, but there's always room for more appreciation, isn't it? so we can appreciate what Srila Prabhupada did for all of us. Okay, back to the notes. Wow. Well, we're running out of time. Okay. I was thinking about Prabhupada's mercy. Because after all those austerities and... Obviously, Prabhupada's austerities was done because of his mercy. So I'll tell you one story. I don't really have any manna stories with Prabhupada, in all honesty. This is a Bombay story. But it illustrates to me Prabhupada's mercy. So in those days, Bombay isn't, you know, the huge bustling temple it is today. It was basically a shack on the side of the road. It was a cement floor with not even brick walls. It had these turquoise shutter things, you know, they come down and go up, kind of made out of bamboo. The deity room was brick, and the deity kitchen was brick, and the devotee kitchen was half brick, about this high, then a gap and a straw roof, and huge roaring fires. How that roof didn't go up, I'll never know. So around Hare Krishna land at that point, there were a lot of poor children. I've told this story before. Poor children means their vest, if you saw they're wearing vests, and there's more holes than there are vests. It's just like a bit of string kept together, and they're very poor. So we started a school for these children. And they used to have fantastic, fantastic kirtans. And one day Srila Prabhupada heard the kirtan. And Harry Thori was secretary at that point, and he asked, "Who's chanting?" And Prabhupada said, Harry Thori said, "There's one school. It's one small school." So Prabhupada asked the children to come and see him. Now, can you imagine, you know, Prabhupada is in Bombay, which he described as his office. And surrounded by, you know, personalities you can read about like Kartikeya Mahadevia and all these rich, often Gujarati gentlemen, Bombay people, business people, rich people. But he has time for the children from the street. I mean, you can fill his diary with all these gentlemen wishing to meet him and see him and help him push on Krishna consciousness. But who does he have time for? The little kids in the street. They don't even have proper houses. They have like this corrugated concrete against the back of the walls of Hare Krishna land. It's very, very, you know, extreme poverty. Let's leave it like that. But Prabhupada had time for those children. So we cleaned them up, clothed them, and we took them up the stairs to Prabhupada's room. And in we went. And they'd all drawn a picture of Krishna, although, you know, you couldn't really tell it was Krishna on some of them, in all honesty. And I've learned one lesson, always put the best on the top. Always put the best on the top. That was one of my first teacher learning things. So Prabhupada's looking through the pictures. But he took that time. And why did he take that time? Obviously mercy, but also Prabhupada saw the souls. I really don't think he saw anything but the souls in each one. Each little soul just waiting there to go back to Godhead ultimately. So Prabhupada had time for everyone. What else did I want to say? Well, I could tell some more stories. Oh, God, I've got a really kind of tear-jerking story. Well, it certainly jerked anyone who was in that room that day. Their tears certainly jerked. Even I saw sannyasis with tears in their eyes that day. Prabhupada was in Mauritius, and he was involved in a car crash. And he came back to India. I can't remember whether it was Bombay or Vrindavan. My memory's going. And we were all in his room with him. And he rolled up his dhoti and he showed us his swollen knee. And he said, once again, that Krishna had saved him, just like the heart attack. And he said that he was in the back of the car, and suddenly, you know, he carried a walking stick. And he said he put the walking stick, and he showed us like this. You know, so the walking stick would have been on the ground, supporting his weight. He said, so just before the impact, Super Soul, somehow Krishna told him he put the walking stick. So when the crash happened, there was some support. You know, it didn't go zoom through. The support kept him. So can you imagine, you know, this is by now Prabhupada's more than 70. But he did that for us. Car crashes. In Vrindavan, he got hit by a cow, you know. In Delhi, when he was going to the printers, he fainted from the heat. And he did that. All of this austerity were for us. So we have to learn to be very grateful for what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Now, I believe I have to stop at 5:30. Is that correct? We've only got a few minutes. There's so many stories, I'm not going to get them in 3 minutes. I'm going to have to give another class. Sorry? Okay. Oh, I've dropped my... I'm sure I had more things to mention about the manor, but... Well, yeah, the manor. How lucky were the devotees at the manor in 1977... It's a good story. So Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and very ill. I mean, again, I you know, the whole thing, I was certainly covered. It never occurred to me that Srila Prabhupada would actually leave his body, you know. He just didn't. And he'd come down under the tree. Those of you who've been to Vrindavan, there's a tree. And Prabhupada would sit under the tree. Sorry, my voice is starting to go. But let me, the other story first. So Prabhupada wanted to go to New York to preach. And there's a whole debate. Some people thought that it would be good, you know, Prabhupada out preaching, because what did Prabhupada like? What was his life was about going out and preaching? 13 times he circumambulated the planet in like 12 years. So there's a debate whether he should go or not. And in the end, Srila Prabhupada went. And his flight, I think he used to travel BA, believe it or not. And his flight meant that he was leaving Vrindavan at midnight. And he had a maroon ambassador car. These ambassador cars, the old A40 for those of you who are English, and the ambassador for those of you who are Indian cars. And Prabhupada was in this ambassador car, and it was midnight. He was leaving Vrindavan at midnight. And, of course, we all stayed up to see Prabhupada leave. And we were all along outside Krishna Balaram Mandir, and Prabhupada was in the back of the car. And as luck would have it, the car stopped in such a position that I was looking down at Prabhupada in the back of this ambassador, and he was looking up at me. But it was an extremely shocking thing for me. Because Srila Prabhupada, it's like his muscles were gone, his fat was gone, and the skin was on top of his bones. And he was in the back of this ambassador car on a guest house mattress. I happen to recognize a guest house mattress. And he was like, I couldn't believe that Srila Prabhupada was going to travel in that condition. It was extremely shocking. Even to get to Delhi would have been painful. In those days, now we zoom along that road they built, that Jamuna Expressway. But in those days, it was more potholes than road. It was like at least 4 hours. Now it takes 2. It was at least 4 hours in the dark and those potholes. It was a great austerity to undertake that journey. A great austerity. But Prabhupada was doing it for us. Now his plan was to go to New York. But of course, he reached the manor. So those lucky devotees who were here at that time asked, "Oh, you were here? Sava, were you still in India? Were you in India in that time?" Yeah. So, but I couldn't get that vision out of my head of Srila Prabhupada, you know, skin and bones on the back of these guest house mattresses. And I always remember thinking, well, I, at the time I thought determination, so determined, to undergo a journey in that condition. But now I'm also thinking, what mercy to put yourself through that. So again, fabulous.
He said to the devotees who were with him, he could not believe that anybody was not screaming in agony. He said there was no muscle, that there was nothing between.
Yeah, exactly. And the nerves. So let's never forget the depth we owe Srila Prabhupada. And what does Chanakya Pandit say? You have to get rid of three things immediately: fire, depth, and for some reason I can't remember the third.
Sickness,
right, correct. So we have this huge depth to Srila Prabhupada because he's put us on the right track, if you like. So, I brought something to show you. I'll read so you know what it is. Srila Prabhupada would sit facing Krishna and Balaram, and the devotees would sit down around him and begin a kirtan. As the kirtan began, this is in Vrindavan, by the way, before, after, when Prabhupada came back, and maybe before, I'm not sure anymore. Two Gurukul boys would rise and come in front of him, where they would begin dancing with arms upraised, their cotton chadars swinging back and forth. Prabhupada would usually not speak or even smile, but after a few minutes, he would give his garlands to a devotee who would place them around the necks of the dancers. Soon two other young boys would come forward, and the first boys would garland them with the garlands they had received from Srila Prabhupada and sit down. For half an hour, the dancing and singing continued. Guests at the temple would gather, many of them offering money at Prabhupada's feet. This is the important bit, which rested on an embroidered silken cushion. Guess what I've got in my bag?
I do.
It was, now remember, I was young. Less experienced in the world. But this is the embroidered silken, technically it's velvet, cushion that Prabhupada rested his feet on in Vrindavan. Oh, it's getting a bit spotty. Wow. And I've got it all with things and everything. So I've promised when I die, this will go back to Vrindavan. But I made it, so I used to take it in the mornings.
And
no chance, Kishore. Yeah, why not? I didn't realize it's getting a bit. I have it in a display cabinet at home. But yeah, so what was my learning outcome again? Let's make sure you all got it. I'm treating you like kids now. It's terrible, isn't it? I've lost my learning thing. What was it? Anyway, basically to be realize what we've got, you know? Oh, yeah. To have a better understanding of who Prabhupada is. Does everyone have a better understanding of who Prabhupada is? Good. And to consider the qualities of Prabhupada. Unbelievably merciful. The austerity is for us. So I once heard, but I don't have a quote, that there's no, you know, if you murder some, the Brahmin, you can circumambulate the Tulsi plant. But apparently, there's nothing you can do for ungratefulness. Now, I don't have a quote for that. I was told that in some lecture somewhere. So let's not be ungrateful, and let's always remember what we owe Srila Prabhupada. So that's my class on Prabhupada. I hope you enjoyed it. I didn't get half of it done, in all honesty. But I did bring the cushion so you could see. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, you're embarrassing me. I'm embarrassed now. Shall I come round or something? I probably won't, you know. No, you're not touching it. I'm joking. Addie knows I'm joking. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, he's got to go. Look, he's just making it up.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. I just wanted to share this incident that Mokshama Lakshmi Prabhu was talking about. In Mauritius, we used to go to the police barrack where we used to do Sankirtan. And one time, I met one policeman. That was, I think, later on, like, 85... between 85 and 90. And the policeman, he was so touched because Srila Prabhupada, when he arrived in Mauritius, he was a VIP. So the Prime Minister arranged for the policeman to drive him around. So the car was given by the state. And this policeman was driving Srila Prabhupada on that day before the accident. So he said to me, "Your Swami is... He's another level." I remember he said that. He said, just before the accident, like Moksha Lakshmi Prabhu was relating that, he hold his cane, you know, his walking stick, right, he just put it there and hold on it. That was like prior, just like minutes, like maybe 3-4 minutes before the accident. And then he was telling me there was quite a big accident, but he remembered that Srila Prabhupada hurt his knees, and they all had to come out, and Brahmananda Swami Maharaj was there as well. That what touched him so much that he became a devotee. You know, of course, driving Srila Prabhupada is not only the ordinary, to be in the same car, to be, you know, serving a pure devotee. So this person became a devotee in the police department. So whenever he used to go, he used to send a policeman with us to all the offices, make everyone take a Bhagavad Gita or whatever books we have. So he was very, he got real mercy from Srila Prabhupada. I wanted to share this.
Just see, Prabhupada's mercy just goes on and on and on in waves, doesn't it? Yeah. There's the mic.
Yeah, the books he bought was... Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, all the small books, Easy Journey to Adi, Srimad Bhagavatam. They're You know, they're just what he wanted to give us, treasure, wasn't it?
Treasure. Good word. Perfect word, actually. Yeah. Treasures. I always say that my memories of Srila Prabhupada are my treasure.
Thank you.
Manifest. I had my first dream of Srila Prabhupada after he'd left this planet. And in that dream, he said to me, "You must go to the manor, Bhaktivedanta Manor." I was living a few miles away. And he said, "Sitala is there. You must go and help her." I had no idea that my god sister from India, Sitala, was here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And when I woke up, I thought, "Oh, I've just had an instruction from Srila Prabhupada." And, you know, was it really in my mind, or did it really happen? I came to Bhaktivedanta Manor, and many devotees didn't even know that Sitala was here. My god sister, you must all have heard of our beautiful Sitala. And I found her in a sleeping bag in the Brahmashrini ashram that was up there. Very high temperature, ill. And I managed to grab a few things and said, "You must come to my home and I will look after you." And by the time I got her to my home, I realized that she was too seriously ill for me to look after her. And I called my doctor. And my doctor sent an ambulance, and she was taken to a specialist hospital in London for pneumonia. And she was hours away, at least 24 hours away from leaving her body. That's what the hospital said. And I was talking to Sitala just a few years ago, and she was thanking me, saying, "You know, you saved my life that time at Bhaktivedanta Manor." And I burst out crying. I said, "No, it wasn't me. It was our Srila Prabhupada."
Wow.
And now I'm almost 72, and Srila Prabhupada has appeared many times, instructing me, telling me, helping me, never, ever letting me down. And I just wanted to share that with you, that although we had that incredible association with Srila Prabhupada, and that is what has sustained us, isn't it, Moksha?
Yeah.
That mercy, that love, that compassion. But he is also extremely present, of course, in his book. But he's also in our dream. And he's as close to us as the air we breathe. So I just wanted to share that with you.
It's actually a fact that Srila Prabhupada is as close to you as you want him to be. It's kind of up to us to make Prabhupada our companion.
And he loves us unconditionally.
You know, we can push Prabhupada away. You know, I'm sure there'll be challenging times in everyone's lives. It's part of being born in the material world. You know, you might think, "Oh, why me, why this?" But Prabhupada, you can push him away or you can bring him close. So let's go out thinking how we can bring Prabhupada closer to us. Yeah? Good note to end on? Okay. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.